Morning, everybody. Morning. I still do feel awkward when I lead worship and then come and speak. It feels like, oh, so much of Nadia. But there you go. I know, it's a weird thought. I know it's a weird thought, but you bless me by not making me have that weird thought. And I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Break it off me. Break it off me. It's totally gone in Jesus' name. Amen. I get that. But maybe I don't. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe I don't actually get it deep inside of me. Isn't that right, Neil? Maybe I don't get that deep inside of me. You know, God is doing some amazing things. Some amazing things. And you are so much like your brother. I'm not sure whether you're the handsome one but you're both equally amazing. You're gorgeous. Yeah. Bless you guys. It's lovely to see you, and to meet you actually, because I don't think I know you. Anyways, there's so much happening. It's very hard to. I feel at this time very. I don't know what to share. Because that God is cascading revelation upon his church. Amen. He really, really is. I just want to honor the word that came when I was away. Karen, I listened to it. Wow. Bless the maker. What a wonderful word. It's just, there is so much. Everybody who gets up here is bringing something powerful and strong. And full of wisdom and full of revelation. And I, like I said, I really, I'm unsure and still am really where to go with this because there's so much to say. While Thelma and I were away, we had an incredible time of revelation, lots of downloads. I got about 25, 26 pages of revelation. And it feels like, as I read it over, I think, I know this stuff. And yet it has, you know, the quality of, wow, I'm seeing again and again. And it's, you know, when the Lord says in Scripture, listen, it's like I'm listening and I'm hearing again and I'm hearing. And the same Scripture, but it has something totally different on it. That it revolutionizes my life. I mean, my thing that I would really like to do, and I thought about that while I was sort of looking at the word again this morning, that really what I would love to do is to invite somebody up here and to interview them. And I'm particularly interested in what people are thinking at this time. Because I know that God's wisdom and revelation is being poured out. I know that. Every single person in this room is being quickened by the living God. Every single person. And, you know, across the globe, God's people are being stirred and with a renewed understanding and fervor. We're kind of getting that we are a totally alien new race. We're getting that we are God's people. And as such, we are different. We're different because we bear in our very being, as we were singing this morning, the King is here. I'm breathing him in and I'm breathing him out. You know, that's how the Jews, they looked at that word. They can't even say it. Yahweh, breathing him out and in. In James, it talks about God being delighted to give us birth by the truth of his infallible word so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all his creation. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to sing. I'm going to lecto divina it. Okay? So, slowly.
It's James 1:18. This is the Passion Translation, and I'll read it in the NASB as well. So let me just go to James. Hebrews, James 1. Right, James 1:18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of his infallible word, so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all his creation. God, creator of the heavens and the earth, God, in whom we live and move and have our being, God, who gives us breath, God, in whom all things consist and are held together, this God was delighted. He willed it. He desired it. He longed to give us birth because it was a truth in his inner being. It was a truth. And he breathed his infallible word out. And here we are, living epistles, as the scripture says, living letters of God, words of God. So that we would fulfill simply by being the word. We are the very word of God that came out of his desire and his will. He was delighted to bring you forth. Hallelujah. Oh, to receive that into my very being. Yes, me. Yes, me. And he breathed us out so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny and become the favorite ones, the first fruits out of all his creation. In Psalm 16, it's a lovely, lovely, lovely verse that says, as for the saints, it's verse 3, Psalm 16:3, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Just get it. Just receive the delight of the Lord. He delights in you. Just the most amazing thing. As for the saints, you are a saint. Jesus Christ has made you a saint. You are a sinner saved by his grace. That sin is no longer. I am in Christ, and therefore I am one of his holy ones, his saints in the earth. You are the Majestic One. That is a title given to God. God says this about you. Gives us the same title as himself. They are the Majestic Ones. In whom is all his delight. Yes. I know. Lord, I'm asking for myself and for everyone who will hear this word, Lord, that just your word, this word, that there would be a renewal in our minds, that there would be that wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and what you have done and what you declare and decree over us. I pray that it would go deeper into the every fabric of our being. I pray, oh God, that we would live from the frame of reference that we are your delight. Yes, Lord. That we would live as the Majestic Ones, the ones in whom you have chosen and whom you delight in and whom you have called to fulfill destinies, to fulfill things that you have prepared for us to do. Would you enlighten us, the eyes of our hearts, to know the hope of our calling. I always quote that wrong, Lord, because it's not our calling. It's your calling. It's the hope of your calling. It is what you have designed and destined for us. It is what you have chosen. It is what you have created. It is what you have said. And we want to be conformed to that destiny, conformed to your will. And that, I know, is not a work. It is a gaze. It is not about me doing, but it's about me being. In James 1:22, further on in James, and 24 and 25, it says, we don't just, I'm using the Passion for the moment, we don't just listen to the word and not respond to it. So what you've just heard, that's why I prayed. What you just hear is, it's how do I abide in that word? How do I dwell in that word? How do I live from that frame of reference that I am a delight? We don't just listen to the word and not respond to it. We don't just perceive how God sees us in the mirror of his word and then go out and forget our divine origin. I don't know about you, but I want to say, to think that I'm divine is a very, very, very weird concept. Do you know what I mean? It's a concept that I will take a little while to process for all of us, because we continue to focus on all the things
that we have grown up with, the brainwashing, I would say, the sense of I've got to earn any kind of anything that I deserve. I've got to, you know, do something in order to make this happen. It is not the truth. It's just not the word of God. I don't have to work at anything. I have to receive this and abide in this. And it is my true act of worship to live trusting the infallible word of God. That is my word. That is worship. To receive the fact that I'm majestic is worship. To receive the fact that I am divine is worship. Because God speaks it into me. He speaks it out of his mouth. Who am I to dare to think anything other than what he says? Who am I? We've been sold a pup. And yet, I see how hard it is for the renewal. I feel it in my own being. I know Thelma has been writing out all the glorious promises that God has spoken about us, about his people. She's got a book full of all of his promises.
I'll take this of the divine nature.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get there. And so, these promises, I think, you know, what is happening is that the Lord is awakening us to the revelation of our sonship.
Yes.
Our eyes are seeing. Now, we're meant to think like this, like the Word.
Yes.
We're meant to think like the Word thinks. You are the saints in all the earth. You're majestic, and you are his delight. Think like that.
Yes.
Lord, that's how you think. I choose to align myself with you.
Yes.
Forgive me where I have defied you and said I am not worthy, or I've sinned too much. You can't possibly be saying that about me. I just did something wrong. I just thought a wrong thought. You can't possibly be thinking about me like that. He does. He does. He does. He does. He thinks. How precious are the sum of the thoughts of God towards us. They're as many as the grains of sand, says the psalmist on the seashore. They're just a multiplicity of good thoughts, because God is good and he can't help but be thinking good. And he thinks good about me. And he thinks good about each and every one. When I got born again, I have to say, this is a very odd thing, because I didn't get like gloriously and born again with the Spirit of God. It wasn't until about 18 months later when the Holy Spirit came and impacted my life. But when I got born again, when I made a commitment, it was in a small little grubby cub hut in West Watford, and there were about 10 people knocking about. And one was shaking a tambourine. And I looked at them and I thought, man, these guys are nuts. You know? But because of my past, because of the junk I'd been in, I was really, really, I thought, well, I'm nuts. Because I've given my life to things that have hurt me and damaged me, and I've lost so much. Everything that I've been robbed of every moral thing that I could possibly hold on to, it's all gone. I'm stink. And look at these guys with their tambourine. And I thought, I'll give it a shot. I literally went like that. I'll give it a shot. And so I asked them, could I become a Christian? They said, wait up until the tambourine's finished. You know, and then they invited me to say the prayer of salvation, and I said the prayer of salvation. And then I went about, obviously, you follow the role model. You follow what the people are doing who hold this good book. They know the way. They must know the way. But it's the blind leading the blind. It was. But no, we were everything. We did everything in the heart that it was meant to. We were being led by Jesus. And in that time, what I did was I did everything with a big smile on my face, because that's what Christians do. That's what I thought. I thought Christians smile all the time. Okay? Yeah, I know. But the ones I grew up with, okay, that's what they did. And they, you know, we went to every single prayer meeting, and we read the Bible a lot, and it made very little sense to me. It made a little sense to me. But I did that. Today, I'm speaking with a smile on my face because I'm getting the reality. Yes. I'm getting something. That when I got born again, February 2nd, 1994, the Holy Spirit came into my little flat, and I was powerfully impacted by the living God. And I was never turned aside from following hard after him from that day. It's been an increasing awakening to the truth. But I'm telling you, in these days, there is something that is giving me 20/20 vision. We're all having this 20/20 vision. We're coming into the truth. I'm repeating myself because I'm saying that's what's happening. The wisdom. Remember, we've been praying. Paul has been praying for us way back when, and he's prayed. He says, I pray that Father would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. He's been praying. And I know that that prayer is coming to pass. Our eyes are being enlightened to know the hope of his calling. Yes. We're getting to grip of the riches of the glory of his inheritance that he has for us. It's in us. It's all in us. It's in the saints. And that, those riches are like this incredible power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is that power that is here. Right here. Okay. So it goes on and it reads, back in James again. So we can't forget our divine origin. We can't forget our divinity. Oh, that's weird. We can't forget that God himself has placed himself inside of us. The divine one has come. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth. They hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. And so there is a continual gazing that we need to be doing in these days upon the law of liberty, the word of God. I am, as Thelma is doing, writing down all the promise. I am righteous. I am holy. I am blameless. I am a new creation. I am no longer under condemnation. There's so much that I can say about I am because Christ has given it to me. I am loved. I am blessed. Anything else? I am dead. That's the ultimate, yep. You can't be dead. You think you can't? If you're not dead, you can't possess these things. You got to die. And it's done. We are dead. We are dead in Christ because we're all seated here believing in Jesus Christ who crucified. We identified with his death. We're dead.
I am crucified with Christ.
Correct.
I'm alive in Christ.
You're alive in Christ. There's so many. The list is long. I've got a plethora of them, but we won't go there because we have to focus on these things that God has given us. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come to Mount Zion, Hebrews 12, and to the city of the living God. You have come through the blood of Christ to the place of God's dwelling. You have come to the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. All of heaven is available to you. You are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We are people who dwell with God in their midst. More and more and more, Lord, may we be aware of you in our midst. Not in and out, hokey-cokeying. But you are in our midst all of the time. It's a turned attention, isn't it? It's just a turned attention. And there you are. May that turned attention be more and more my reality, our reality. So we're never walking as though we're alone, because we are not. He is present, present, present. We have come to myriads of angels. Are you aware that angels surround you? Are you aware that they are taking charge around you? Are we thinking like that? Do we think like that? Are we thinking that when we go into a situation, whatever it is, say YMCA, okay? Are you aware that angels are around you? Actually there with you. I think these are the things, these are inheritances. This is a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem. This is what they partake of. I am of the assembly of the firstborn. Church of the firstborn. You are the church. Remember right at the beginning, read that scripture about God's infallible word giving us the truth that we are the first fruits of all creation. This is the first, we are the church, the firstborn. We are the assembly of the firstborn, the first fruits. We are these glorious people in heaven. This is our citizenship. All our names legally registered as citizens of heaven. We have come before God who judges all and who lives amongst the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect in his eyes. Oh, perfect. Are you perfect? Are you complete?
In him.
Yes, you are. In Christ we are. It's the day when this is shifting, where we understand that in Jesus we are complete. So stay and abide in Jesus. In Jesus, I'm complete. In Jesus, I have all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes.
In Jesus, I partake of the divine nature. In Jesus, I'm seated at the right hand of God. In Jesus, I'm under the shadow of El Shaddai. In Jesus, I'm hidden in his strength. In Jesus,
I'm blessed.
In Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Woo! In Jesus, the same spirit that plunges into the depths of the living God, woo, has come in me. He reveals, the spirit of truth reveals truth in me.
I think we're extraordinary people. And we're getting to grip with how extraordinary we are. We are. We are the righteous one who have been made perfect. Oh, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. New covenant. Or should I say it again? New covenant. With the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat, which speaks from heaven. What does it speak? Yes. Forgiveness. Yes, it does. It speaks forgiveness, a better word than Abel's blood that cries out from the earth, justice. Forgiveness. We're forgiven. We can never, ever get lame or complacent about this. We can never get lame or complacent about the fact that we are utterly forgiven, because if we do, we then become let me just read the scripture. 2 Peter 1:11, I will end here. 2 Peter 1:11, every time somebody comes up in the next year, they will be bringing us, I believe this, bringing us into more and more understanding, more and more awakening, more and more revelation of what it is to live the promises of the living God that he speaks over us. So 2 Peter, it says, to those, starting from verse 1, sure. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm going to open up both. Hold on. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. So Simon Peter is my brother, and all those who have gone before me, my brother. And we've received the same kind of faith as theirs. And they moved with a great understanding of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ in them. They moved, as we know, with the Acts Church. They moved with this revelation, and that same faith we have received. And therefore, everything that they are a part of and were did and released and were, it belongs to us. It belongs to us. And we are to move as they did, but even more than they, because the latter house is greater than that which went before. Okay, so to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, it's all through his righteousness, his sin-free life, that I have come into grace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, that is, his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world by lust. And then it goes on to talk about the application of faith and moral excellence and knowledge and self-control, which is all comes out of the divine nature. The thing is, We think that we have to somehow work this up. We don't. According to my scripture, it doesn't say that. It says the qualities. It talks about, let me just go to 2 Peter and read it from there as well. I shall reread. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Oh, sometimes it's like the word is so, it's so full. It's like, how do we continue? He's given us everything. Everything. He's lavish. He's deposited it in us. He's invited us to come into him because he chooses to. As a result of his glorious excellence, he has given us magnificent promises that are beyond all price. Wow. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So it goes on to say, so devote yourself to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding, and to understanding add the strength of self-control, and to self-control add patient endurance. And it goes on, talking about the virtues of the divine nature. It then says in verses 8, since these virtues are already planted deep within. Could you just say the divine nature,
is already planted
deep within.
The divine nature is in me.
Because of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Since these virtues are already planted deep within, and you possess them in abundant supply, this is the word of God. They will keep you from being inactive. So the divine life in me and you will keep us from being inactive or fruitless in our pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ. But it goes on to say, if anyone lacks these things, he is blind, constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith. Oh, and forgetting the innocence that Christ has brought us into, for our sins have been washed away. I'm just overwhelmed by this word. Everything God has given us to us. The only reason why I don't move in the divine nature. Somehow it's that I forget. I forget that I'm majestic. I forget that I have been breathed out of his very life. I forget that in Christ he has caused me to partake of divine nature. I forget that I am holy and blameless and beyond reproach. I look into the mirror and I read, and then I walk away and I forget. Oh, Lord, please, I don't want to forget anymore. I don't want to forget my new creation self. You have created, you died a brutal death to birth me, to give me these qualities, to equip me so that I can walk as a majestic one, as one in whom you delight, so that I don't constantly look at my lack, but I look at what you have given me. I don't look as one who does not have. I look as somebody who has got everything that pertains to life and goodness. I ask you, let my eyes see and stay seeing that I am fully, fully equipped to live out the destiny that you have chosen for me. I know it. And this is not about me doing anything. It is not about believing in you, Jesus. But it's believing like you. Like you believe. You believe. You just are living. Knowing where you came from and knowing where you're going. I want to live knowing where I came from and where I'm going. That's the truth. It's the truth. So I pray it. I pray it. I pray it, oh God. I don't want to forget your word anymore. I want to live by the truth that you have given to me. Let it be known, as Karen said, that you are God. Because if I don't live this, then I declare every single day that you're not. But you are. And you've called me to live by incredible, glorious equipping of your grace, of your life, of your spirit in me. And so I declare, Lord, that you are God. And I declare that I am the one in whom you delight. And I declare that I am equipped with the divine nature. And I'm going to live out of that place in the fullness of what you have died and purchased to give me. In Jesus' name. Bless you.